Out there and welcome. My name is Sharon. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together entrepreneurs, marketers, practitioners, artists, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I have with me someone that, although I do not know her as well as I wish that I did, which is something I'm going to have to remedy personally on my own time, she is a health coach who has been through a tremendous amount of personal and medical change over this last decade, focused mainly in this last year, and has managed to stay on track, keep everything in line, and remain healthy. And this is something that so many of us life coaches who work for ourselves and kind of get lost in the hustle and bustle of getting clients and let things fall to the wayside can really benefit from. So Julie, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is my pleasure. If you wouldn't mind just sharing with the audience, you know, tell them a little of the story that you told me before we went live about your weight loss and all the change that you've had recently and how you've kind of helped to ensure that your health remains stable through all this. Because girl, you've been changing a bunch of shit.
I have been changing a bunch of crap. That's true. So, about 10 years ago, I was 300 pounds. I had been 300 pounds for most of my life. And, I went on a cruise with a bunch of girls and I sweat my face off. Like I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. And I think I showered like 7 times a day. Like it was not good for my skin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought, God, I'm just going to be at 50. I'm going to be in a hover round with oxygen tootling down somewhere and, you know, and homeless because I can't walk anywhere. So I went back home and went to my job in the ICU. I'm an ICU nurse. And they were having a little contest. And they're like, you know, we're having a weight loss contest. You want to join? And I see this girl out of the corner of my eye come in with a $100 bill because it's $100 to join. And she's like $1.50. And she's like, I'm totally going to win this contest. And I'm like, oh, no, you're not. You know? And so that was the start of everything. It was, I was going to lose weight for money in a 6-month contest so that I could go buffet hopping in Vegas. That was my whole goal.
That's a plan right there.
It was a plan. So that's what I was going to do. And I did it for 6 months. I won the money. And then, I kind of was like, well, I don't know, you know, buffet hopping or, you know, continue to lose weight. And then they had another contest, which solidified what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And so another 6 months went by. And by that time, I could cross my legs and I was 80 pounds down. And I went, all right, I'll just continue. Like, what do I have to lose? And so I did that. And it changed the whole trajectory of my life. So I left nursing. I became a mobile fitness trainer. I had employees. It changed my relationship with my then husband, which was, you know, it was hard on the relationship. I was big girl all my life. And at 32 years of marriage, I decided to leave. And that was last year. And I left with a bag of clothes, my little bag of clothes, and the car, and went to live with my sister, lost my fitness business. Started menopause. That was awesome.
Yay.
Woo, woo. Everybody in menopause knows what I'm talking about. And the night sweats and everything else. And then, and I decided at that point that I wanted to do things that I never would have done before. Never. So I decided I wanted to travel. I traveled to 4 or 5 different countries. I was still a health coach. I was still living in a rented room with my sister's. And I had never lived alone. I had left nursing and was doing health coaching full time, but knew that if I wanted to live alone and I wanted to live in a beautiful area, I would have to go back. And I loved nursing, but I'd been out of the game for 7 years. And so I went to Lake Tahoe and said, I'm here. I want a job. And they went, okay. And I went, oh my God. Oh crap. Been out of it for 7 years, you guys, you know, and they've been amazing. Lived alone. I've never lived alone before, and I'm living alone in a little condo. And decided last month I wanted to be an artist, and so every single painting I've had has sold. And so it's been awesome.
Holy crap.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. But I think anybody can do that. I truly believe anybody can do this. And I think it just takes just failing a lot.
Yeah.
You know, people are afraid to fail. I mean, I was afraid, you know, when it was money on the line, like I didn't really care about the food stuff. I was like, oh, okay, I'll do, you know, my 49, you know, 51%, which 49% of the time I was eating like shit. The 51% of the time I was eating good. And so, and then I started losing weight and I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll make it 60%. Maybe I'll make it 80%. You know, mm-hmm. It was a process and I failed a lot. So, and I think that that's a big thing.
That's such a powerful message because God, so many of, I mean, I think it's pretty much something that plagues society in general at one stage of their lives or another, that failure and not achieving the goal that you set for yourself means that you're inadequate or that there's something fundamentally wrong with you. And to be talking to somebody who literally made a life change on the premise of failure, and I'm just going to do it, and if I fail, I fail, and if I don't, then I succeed, is honestly, Julie, bordering on the miraculous, because people just don't do what you've done. They don't.
Well, I, you know what? It's either bordering on the miraculous or bordering on the psychotic. I'm not sure. Because honestly, I mean, I just kind of go by the seat of my pants. I mean, because we all have goals and dreams, and a lot of us don't act on it because we're so paralyzed with fear. And that's how I lived for the first 40 years of my life, totally paralyzed by fear. I mean, I get the whole weight thing because, you know, my mom always thought something was wrong with me. She took me to a neurologist and they had me crawling on the ground because they're like, oh, you've missed a Piaget moment in time. I'm sure if you crawl on the ground, you'll lose 100 pounds because that's what you do. It was great exercise, but it really didn't help me neurologically, you know.
Our chief technology officer would absolutely love you.
Well. Or, you know, not want anything to do with me, which is most people.
You're fantastic. Like, I'm just listening to this because I just left an 8-year relationship. I left everything there, my cars, my clothes, I took my clothes with me, but everything, money, cars, all of it, the property, left it there, jumped ship, moved all the way to Mississippi, a state I've never been in before, to spend the summer here, which is the hottest part of the year, just because I was ready to change.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who thought that I was flat out insane.
And isn't it fun though to, I mean, you did the same thing I did, whereas it's a change. You've got to make a change. And you knew you had to make a change.
Yes, you did.
It didn't care if you failed or not. Like you said, I'm going to do it and I don't care.
Yeah. That's why I'm just loving this conversation, because there are so many people that I talk to. And by the way, our chief technology officer is now on the conversation, and she focuses. She's also somebody who focuses on weight loss and was taken as a young girl. It's part of her story that she shares with all of her clients, to all kinds of different specialists who did basically the same thing you were talking about, where if I cry, I'll reclaim a part of my childhood and lose 100 pounds.
Absolutely.
And she is just as funny as you and just as impetuous, just makes a decision and does it. And I think you guys would probably end up being best friends, because you're both incredibly powerful, spontaneous women who know how to absolutely affect change with humor. And I love that.
Thanks. It's been a process. I mean, well, you're either lying on the floor crying your face off, or, you know, or wanting to eat a whole cake. Let's be honest. Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I'm thinking, oh my God, if I could have chocolate cake right now and just cry and watch, you know, documentaries of Trump all day long, because it's just, or just cry, you know, and I think people are so afraid to do that too. I mean, it's okay to be not okay.
Yes, and that's not a message we get in society. The message we get in society is you need to be happy all the time so people will like you, and then if you're accepted, you'll feel good, and then you'll lose the weight, or then you'll make the money, or then you'll be successful.
Because that'll work real well.
Yeah, being yourself works so well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Sammy says, I love this lady already. I'm telling you, I'm the matchmaker here.
you're the matchmaker. We're going to be best friends.
You guys are going to love each other. No, I already love you. There's no, but you guys are going to be good friends. I can already see it. She's a hard person to be good friends with, and you, I can already tell her a hard person not to be good friends with. So go at it. I'm not going to say it that way. That sounded wrong. I hope that you guys enjoy each other. I had to correct myself, catch myself there for a second. It's a PG-rated show.
Oh, damn it.
Anyway, so it's so fascinating to me to be talking to you. And I just would love if you would just share with the viewers what it feels like to do something in spite of fear.
Terrifying, by the way. I mean, it's not a good feeling. I mean, I think people are under the misconception that you're going to feel just awesome and great and it feels so good. No, it does not. It feels terrifying and scary when you're doing it. You're like, what the hell am I doing? Why am I doing this? Am I crazy? What am I thinking? And then when you do it, you're like, damn, I just did that. Yeah. I just traveled to 5 different countries in less than a year on a shoestring budget and not knowing what the hell I was doing, traveled with a backpack. Like, I didn't go with anything else but a backpack and traveled with a bunch of ladies that had a lot of luggage. I didn't have any, you know, and I think we're so afraid to fly by the seat of our pants and not know what we're so afraid that we're not going to have the house. We're not going to have this. We're not going to have that. I tried that for years. I tried to fit into a square peg that my life was not that way. I never felt that way. I never felt right. And honestly, failure is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yes. Will you please say that again?
Failure is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Because we're all so afraid of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should fail on a daily basis because that means we're trying, living.
Oh, you've got me so excited. I feel like I'm in a good, I feel like I'm listening to a good sermon in a Southern Baptist church right now.
Amen, sister.
Yes, can I get an amen? I love what you're saying because there's so many of us that are so terrified. And really, when we get down to it, what are we afraid of?
Right.
What are we really afraid of? We're afraid that people are gonna think we're crazy? I've been through that. People thought I was crazy.
Oh, and they'll continue to feel I was crazy. I lost friends. I lost loved ones. I lost people. And the thing is, my ex that I because I came home on a whim. This is what I did. I came home and I said, not working out. We've been together for 38 years since I was 12. Like, he was my only boyfriend. He was everything to me. And I came home and I said, I can't live like this anymore. We've got to go. We can't do this anymore. And he was so... I have to say, he's still my best friend. He was so awesome about it. He's like, okay, like we had been to counseling before. He knew that there was problems. He said, let's pretend like we have cancer. And this is so bizarre to everybody. Nobody would understand.
I get it.
And he goes, let's pretend that we have cancer, have the best 2 weeks of our life, and then we part ways. And I said, good idea.
That's so amazing. See, that's the kind of living. That is the kind of living that I want to inspire people to do. That kind of living where, screw it. Yeah, so we've been together for this amount, for almost 40 years. Let's have a bang out separation where we go and we have a blast together, part ways and do something different, but we celebrate each other. We celebrate
Absolutely.
The time we've spent together and we don't run off with our tail between our legs and hide from the time that we have together.
And hate each other. Why would you hate each other?
Yes.
You've loved that person for many years. Why would you hate, you know, he's the father of my kids. Why would I hate him? I can't hate him. He's like one of my best friends. He's the one that calls me, says, how are you doing today? You know, it's our relationship changed from a marriage to a best friend thing, which most people can't do.
No.
A lot of people can't do because they have so much anger. I had a lot of anger too, but I think you have to let that go. It just hurts you.
Yes. I'm fangirling on you so hard right now. I can't describe to our audience what it feels like to be the one that everybody thought was crazy when you just walk away from something that is so solid and on the outside looks
that's so good,
perfect.
Right?
Uh-huh. And then you walk away to find yourself and your social circle doesn't necessarily understand. And then to find somebody who's done what you've done on steroids is like, it's just like,
girl,
it's like, yeah, somebody who just knows you, who gets you.
Yep.
It's awesome.
It's a hard thing because I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of people that had no clue. Like, you guys had a solid relationship. What is the deal? And they really were angry with me. And it's funny that my ex is not, I'm sure he
is.
But
they are.
But they are angry. So I lost a lot of friends. I had people telling me to take him for everything. Like, take him for everything. And I'm like, he can have everything. I would never, why would I do that? Why would I, you know, yeah. I don't need physical, you know, materialistic stuff. I just need to feed myself. And if occasionally a cake falls into my mouth, it does. But I mean, I just need to, you know, figure that out. And so, I mean, that's all it's about. Like,
I love it.
You know?
It really is, because I've left everything behind, and not only have I left everything behind, but I'm helping to pay off some of our debt.
Me too.
Because I didn't want to leave her with that debt. And we had a beautiful log cabin in wine country, California. I had a little souped up mini that I absolutely loved that I left. I left a lot of stuff. And what it has taught me, I left with a duffel bag full of clothes after 8 years, after building all of this. And what it has taught me is that stuff does not define me.
Matter.
I've been gone for 2 months, and that log cabin not being here isn't changing who I am. And I desperately needed to lose everything so that I could get back to, that's not who you are. What you own is not who you are. How much money you have in the bank is not who you are. Who you are is the way you behave when all of that goes away.
Absolutely.
And failure is a component of that. Failure is a component of figuring out who am I when I don't have the things that I currently define myself with. So God, I just love you. I adore you, because your message is so powerful. That, I mean, 38 years of marriage, losing 160 pounds, walking away from a career to a city you don't even know, to just present yourself for a job. Your story is literally the hero's journey. And I'm so passionate about Joseph Campbell and his Masks of God identifying the same algorithm, which is, I'm in a certain place, fate or life removes me from that place. I get a call to action. I get a call to adventure, and I leave. And then I go through what I need to go through. I slay the dragons of a 38-year marriage, of all of that weight. And then I come back and I bring that story to my community to show them that it can be done, and to encourage them to go on their own journey. That the kind of magic that you do, Julie, isn't readily available in our society. I don't know if you recognize that or not. It's not.
I think it's so sad, because I think the thing is that I think if you just let yourself go and decide, I kind of go back to what did I want at eight? Like at 8 years old, what did I want? I wanted to do art. I was too afraid to. I wanted to run and jump and have a good time. I was too fat to do that, honestly. Come on. So I wanted to do a lot of things, and all the things that I'm doing now are helping people, are, you know, doing the art. I'm back to my 8-year-old self. I mean, you got to go back to where you were before you worried about the money and the kids and the lifestyle and what am I keeping up with the Joneses, and what is so-and-so going to say about my shirt? Like, who fucking cares? Like, you know, I mean, go to Goodwill. I found out that having nothing actually gave me everything.
It does. Mm-hmm. I'm getting chills right now. It does. Losing everything. I spent 10 years homeless. I was a drug addict. I came back, I got everything, got a job, you know, got the girlfriend, and lost it all again because I didn't address what was underneath why I had been homeless and a drug addict. I didn't address the emotional issues. So I lost it all again. And guess what? I just spent the last 8 years building up a beautiful, pretty bubble of all the reasons that I didn't want to deal with how I lost everything, because I got into that relationship to avoid feeling the loss of everything because of that nervous breakdown. And guess what? Here I am now, again, like you, the first time in my life ever living alone. And I'm finding myself. I'm finding my voice. I'm finding my creativity. And there are so many people that are afraid of being alone and are afraid of Absolutely. Not having anything.
Absolutely. And you know what's so scary is it's okay to be alone and it's okay to be lonely. And it's okay to feel crap. It's okay to, you know, you yes. just have to embrace all of that stuff and go, okay, I feel like shit right now. I, what am I going to do about that? How am I going to express yes. that kind of stuff? So how am I going to express it? I'm going to start YouTube and start art. Like, I mean, I and then people are like, hey, do you sell that? Okay. Like, it just happens because you're actually going deep inside and going, you know what do I really want?
Yeah.
And if the art never sold, I don't give a fuck.
No, that's not what it was about.
It's not what it's about anyway, but I can build a business on it, but it's not what it's about. I mean, what it's about is, wow, I had no idea that could happen.
Yeah.
What else could happen that you have no idea could happen?
It's that leap of faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Martin Luther King Jr. said, you don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step.
One step. And you don't have to be, you know, self-confident. You don't have to be fearless because none of that, that's not in my genre. I'm scared of air. Seriously, I am terrified of everything. I am scared. I have anxiety over everything. I wake up anxiety ridden, but you know, it's either I wake up anxiety ridden and do what society tells me to do, or I do whatever the hell I want to do.
Yes, if there's fearlessness, there's no courage, because courage is action and is momentum in the face of fear. And if you have no fear, how can you ever be courageous?
You can't.
Exactly. So we talk about how we like people to be courageous, but we want them to do it fearlessly. And it's like, dude, I'm not sure you understand what courage is.
Yeah, it's doing it even though you're scared as hell.
Yeah. Like,
absolutely. I mean, I have a conniption fit every time before I travel. Like, I start to cry. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm telling my nieces when we're going to France, I don't want to go. I think I'm going to cancel my flight. You know, like, I'm terrified. Uh-huh. And then I get on there and I go, oh my God, I get to see something different. I get to do something different. And then I kind of relax, but I'm hyperventilating the whole damn time. Like, I'm scared as hell. I'm scared of everything that I do. But unless you make that leap or unless you try, what have you got to lose? Like, I spent a whole lot of time being somebody that I wasn't. And now at least as neurotic and crazy and whatever I am, I'm being myself.
I have these two amazing friends in the Netherlands who have invited me to come spend a month with them.
Oh,
and over the last 3 weeks, I have been doing my damnedest to talk myself out of it. Like, you know, I'm not sure I can save up enough money to get the ticket, or what if I get there and then, you know, the money stops, how am I going to get back? You know, what if they don't like me? What if I don't, you know, all of these things that I'm going through. And it's like the universe or whatever it is just plopped you right in my lap today to be like, you need to quit it with that noise. You need to quit it with that
noise. Stupid voice is so loud. It like has a loudspeaker and is like, Sharon, don't do it. You know,
yes.
Screaming in the back of your head, I'm sure, because it does the same thing to me, the damn voice. Ignore it. Go for it. Do what you want to do, because you know what? If you needed to do a GoFundMe account, we'd all give you $5, $10, $100 to get you back. You know, I mean, you have there. What have you got to lose?
Absolutely nothing. I feel like I owe you money because this is one of the best coaching sessions I've ever had. And it just so happens to be with an audience, which, by the way, we have our CEO here who apparently has fallen in love with you, our chief spiritual officer who just admires you. Sammy is typing so fast, I can't keep up with her. Like, you've got a whole bunch of people inspired here, woman. Like, how are you not a motivational speaker?
I get sick before I speak to anybody. I don't know. I was pretty nervous doing that, speaking with you. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of things in living that I want to do in the next 10 years. Because if I die, I want to die in a way that I want to do whatever the hell I want to do. Like, I want to go out there and just skid into the end of my life like no other. Because so many people don't. They regret. They go to nursing homes. I see this every day. They go to nursing homes. They're sick. they're, you know, they can't function, and they're like, oh, I hated my life. If I would have done this, if I would have done that, I don't want any of that to happen. None. I have a shelf life, man. I have some good years left, and I'm gonna hit it hard.
Isn't that what else will happen? How staring fear in the face snaps us out of the especially here in Western society, this pattern we have where I'm not happy and I'm gonna stay unhappy so I have more unhappiness longer.
Yeah, and money doesn't give you happiness. Money doesn't do anything. You know, the station that you have in life, the house that you have, the car that you have, none of that matters. And when you give that up like you have, you know none of that matters, because then it's just you. And then you're like, oh crap, now I have to deal with my own shit.
Yes.
And then when you have to do it, you're like, oh man, this is intimidating. Like I'm kind of scared to actually have to look in the mirror and know what I'm doing. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, it is. In fact, when all of this broke, I run, because there wasn't a lot of action on it for a long time, but there's a page called The Journey Beyond Pain where I went, and I just figured, if I'm going to go through this, why not let other people see the messiness of what it's like to go through this so that they know that it's going to be messy. It's okay if you're messy, but you can get through this. And man, there were episodes on that show where I'm just like, she doesn't want me, you know, just like really intense.
Uh-huh.
But the process of that, of me sharing me with other people, of not being afraid to go through that horribly dark and heavy time of how did I end up here? What's the behavior that got me here? And what am I willing to do to change it? That has given rise to this new season of creativity and productivity in my life that I have never, like, I am just about everything that I'm doing. The things that I'm creating are like industry firsts, and I'm just exploding.
Aren't you so excited? It's like that excitement just flows.
Yes.
You feel that. I mean, when you're yourself.
Yes.
When you are okay with you, even though you're messy, even though you're crying, even though you're failing or whatever it is.
Starting on everybody. Yes.
You know, you're okay with it. And once you're okay with that, then you're like, what have I got to lose? Like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try something. And if it sticks on the wall, great. If it doesn't, I don't care.
Exactly. I'm not invested in the outcome. Right. I'm invested in the process, because that's what I'm here to do.
The process.
That's Julie, it is 12:30, and I honestly wish that we could restart the clock, because this message that you have is just powerful, and I'm hoping, I'm praying that you will at least consider maybe doing a series of lives or something with this message, because girl, this is fire, and this is stuff that people need to hear, and I'm sorry if that has not been shared with you enough from your immediate circle of friends or family, but girl, this is what you have is incredible, and I'm hoping that you're going to continue sharing it, because I'm your number one fan right now.
Like, we need to be talking, girl. We should be talking.
You just have a whole feed of half of our board of directors here is in love with you, and just, God, you're amazing. So
call me. Like, we need to do something. It'll be fun.
Maybe you can come hold a discussion group at our Discover Your Path You or something that just gives people the freedom to try things that they're afraid of, because honestly, this is stuff that you can't teach unless you've done it.
And it's a process to go through all that crap.
It is, but I thank you so much. I mean, I don't think I can thank you enough for being here with
you
today.
Thank you for having me on.
You've helped me so much, to all of our audience, which is primarily our board of directors, to Margaret, to Sammy, to Andrea. Let me scroll back here to so many people here. I can't even catch up with it. Thank you all to all of our viewers for being here and witnessing, God, this amazing message. If you catch this video after we're no longer live, please drop a hashtag replay. Julie's contact information, her personal profile, is tagged in this live. Get a hold of her. Hire her. Get some experience from somebody who's been willing to do the things that most of us in society aren't willing to do, and rise from the ashes of your former self as that fiery phoenix. Become what you want to be.
That's the big thing.
So guys, to everybody who watched, thank you for being here, especially to you, Julie. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And as everybody knows, we will be back here on Monday, same time, same place, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And as you guys know, I love you. We'll see you then, okay?
Bye.
Bye-bye, guys.